Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Episode of Cage Zombies Radio. It's about time to turn off that god-awful football game, tune into us, and listen to some of MMA's finest tonight. I am Matthew. I am back after having the week off last week there, celebrating the anniversary with my girlfriend. I want to say thanks again to Kari for joining us, for filling in for me, as she has done countless times and probably would continue to do, as she's pretty much a part of our team, and we're lucky to have her. So thank you to Kari. But now I am back here with my co-host, my buddy, Mr. Spencer Kirksey. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good, Matthew. It's good to have you back. We got a good episode lined up. Got a local guy. And got two of the top female athletes in the sport. So don't go anywhere. It's going to be a good episode.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, we're talking to Cam Taylor out of Gracie Tampa West Team Bamboo tonight. A guy who I've followed for quite a while. Saw his last few AMI fights. And he's, 1-1 as a pro now, getting ready for a fight tomorrow night down in Miami, Florida at Absolute Fighting Championships 22. Been wanting to get him on the show for quite a while now, so I'm glad that we can finally work it out. And look forward to talking to him. And those guys, man, they call themselves the House of Animals. And they all use the hashtag Believe in Team Bamboo. And I tell you what, man, that is one hell of a family there. I think they far surpass the team aspect. And most definitely make up a family with the guys and ladies that are Team Bamboo that represent Gracie Tampa West. So looking forward to having Cam on the show tonight. Him and his teammate Kit are fighting down at that card tomorrow night. I know they got Coach Bamboo with them as well as Jeremy the Beast Davis. So looking forward to talking to Cam and seeing what kind of shenanigans are going on down there tonight after they both successfully weighed in. After that, we're going to talk with Rachel the Panther Cummins, who is actually getting ready to be part of the women's tournament down there at XFC International. I think that kicks off here in the next couple weeks, if I'm not mistaken, XFC International 6. So they're doing a women's I draw a blank. They're doing a women's tournament, and she's going to be part of that. So, yeah, XFCI 6, September 27th. So, and then we're going to close the night out with current tough cast member, winner of the first episode, first fight in the house, Randa Marcos Thomas. It was a pleasure to be able to get in touch with her this week and get her on this this episode. I know she's excited. I know she shocked the world last week on the first episode there when she took out Tisha Torres. I had Tisha winning. I really thought Tisha was the favorite to win this tournament. And Randa kind of shocked everybody with a really dominating performance. So, congrats to her, and we'll look forward to talking to her later in the show. And then before we get rolling, obviously, let's give some shout-outs to our sponsors. AOL MMA, Valet Auto Auction, BrawlBase.com, Crossroader Clothing, All Out Fight Shop, Game Changer Clothing, Persist Headwear, ProAmBelts.com, Jax Media Canada, and the great Intimidation Clothing at IntimidationClothing.com. As always, folks, we are continuously looking for a mouth guard sponsor. We want a mouth guard sponsor. And, yeah, you're out there. I know a couple mouth guard companies I'm going to reach out to and see if we can't hook up a cool mouth guard sponsorship. But anyway, so that is that. I want to go real quick. The AFC MMA fights last weekend here in Port Richey, Florida. It was a great night of fights where no judges were needed. We say that, you know, there's a company out here, no judges needed. It's a t-shirt apparel company out of Tampa, Florida, run by Troy Regano. And no judges were indeed needed last Saturday. We had 11 fights, 11 solid fights, and a couple of those came together last minute. But 11 solid fights, and didn't see a single third round. That's about how the night went. And let me run down them real quick. Main event, you had Dollar Bill Swift versus Maurice Momo Graham for the 170-pound title. Bill Swift wins that by second-round armbar. Co-main event, John Lewis versus Lorenzo Hunt for the 185-pound title. Hunt wins via TKO corner stoppage. Lewis was not able to answer the bell at the end of the first round, you know, going into the second round. So, and that first round was probably one of the hardest hitting rounds I've ever seen both ways. Those guys were just blasting each other. There was a little bit of confusion here. Fight number 9 was the 155-pound AFC MMA title, where Eric Farmer defended his title over Stevie Dukes of Hazzard Rochelle via guillotine in the first. And then fight before that was the 155-pound All Sports Arena title, with Stephon Slugger Reese versus Chris Cornelius, and Slugger Reese wins that versus, by way of first-round TKO. So congrats to Slugger Reese there. They've been doing a lot of good things out of Sweatshop MMA, which I believe is based out of Ocala. Him and his brother actually both got big wins on this card. His brother, Chris Pope, got a first-round KO, 30-second KO over Zenon Herrera that night too. So congrats to those gentlemen there out of Sweatshop MMA. They've been doing some big things there. Stephon Reese, I think, has another fight coming up here October 18th. So look forward to seeing great things from him. I think that's going to be it for him in the Ammies. Following that fight, he's going to go pro. So look forward to seeing good things from Stephon Slugger Reese as he finishes his amateur career and kicks off his pro career. So other than that, just a great night of fights out there at AFC MMA, even though, you know, it was a lot of short fights, but just solid performances both ways, and people just you know, all the guys who won their fights just kind of capitalized, you know. They took the initiative when they needed to and got good wins. So congrats to all those guys. Next card for Florida MMA, obviously tomorrow night, Absolute Fighting Championships 22, which is going to take place in Miami, Florida. And then Saturday night here in Tampa, Gracie Tampa Fight Night out at the Sun Dome. Going to be a pretty cool thing there, having an amateur card out at the Sun Dome. Obviously, the Sun Dome is on the USF campus where I do attend school, and looking forward to seeing a great fight, night of fights there. That is going to be some of Gracie Tampa's best young fighters against some other fighters throughout the area. So it should be a great night of fights there at Gracie Tampa Fight Night, and that'll be Saturday at 7 p.m. at the USF Sun Dome. As we get ready to join Cam Taylor here, Cam Taylor closed out his amateur career winning the 155-pound title for World Class Fight League pro debut at RFC 28, where he won by second-round KO. And his most recent fight was a submission loss up at Atlas Battle in Mobile Bay there back in April. So Cam has been a fighter that has continuously been active, you know, trying to find fights and always trying to get something. He's had some fights fall through for him, but this fight is locked and ready to go, and I know Cam's ready. He calls himself the Cookie Monster, and I think that, speaking of the Cookie Monster, I think we are joined by Cam. Cam, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How'd weigh-ins go?
You know, it took a little long to have every weigh-ins go, but me and both my teammate, Kit, made weight, refuel. We're just resting now, ready to smash tomorrow, you know, the same old shit.
Yep. Now, as I was just saying before you came on here, you know, you've been a guy who's always, you know, looking for fights. You're always trying to stay active. You've had a few fall through on you, and then finally, you know, you got this one locked in. You know, the opponent committed. You guys got things ready to go. You've weighed in, and how does it feel to know that you're stepping in the cage tomorrow to do what you love to do most?
Man, it was really, really feels good, man. Like you said before, I had like a good maybe 8 to 9 month span where just fight after fight just kept dropping out for whatever reason. People just agreed and then back out. I don't know if it was me or they got injured. I never really got the full scoop, but I kind of got sick of MMA for a good month, and I kind of contemplated giving it up. And the help of my coach, he just stayed supportive with me and got me through a tough time. It was really frustrating because it's just irritating having to cut weight over and over again and then find out it's the fucking fight's not happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, to kind of continue with that thought is what's that like, you know, to have that happen to you so many times after you go through the mental, physical, and emotional struggles of being fight ready to only find out that, you know, the opponents dropped out for whatever reason or fights got canceled, or what's that roller coaster like?
It takes a toll on you, man, because like the old cliche goes, the fighting is only mental, you know what I mean? It's just up and down. It's like a roller coaster. There's only so much your body and your mind can take before it eventually just shuts down. You just, the human reaction, just want to give up. And I was there, and thankfully for a lot of, I got a lot of support system, man, my friends, family, my girl, and my teammates. They just helped me out so much and stick with me through the good times and the bad. And without them, I probably would have just said, fuck it, and just left, to be honest with you. So I got to give them most of the credit on this one. It's really hard, but like I said, I'm blessed in the fact that I have people around me all the time, and I got people looking after me, and I finally got a fight through, and I'm just ready to just get back on track, man.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how the fight camp went. You know, was everything smooth? Any setbacks during the camp, or was it just another great camp?
Weight-wise, it's probably the easiest camp for me. I went back to 170, which is a little bit easier cut for me, because you start around 85 or 90, and 55 is just getting to be too much for me. And the camp went well. I got a lot of good stand-up work. I went to Camp of Muay Thai as well as doing stuff at Gracie Campbell West for Bamboo. So I got a lot of work on that end, got different looks in sparring. Of course, I got my groundwork in with Bamboo because, you know what he's showing on the ground. I up my cardio more than ever, so I just feel the only way I can really describe it right now is just ready.
Right on. Tell me a little bit about, the House of Animals there. You guys are a pretty raucous group of people. You guys have a lot of top fighters, one of the best teams out of Tampa. And you guys continuously stay active. You guys are, as I was saying before, kind of like a very close-knit family. What's that like to kind of have that around you to kind of help your success in this fight game?
You hit the nail on the head, man. A bunch of animals. Those dudes are nuts. They challenge you every day. When I first got over to Great Temple West a long time ago, the better part of 6 months, it was just me getting my ass handed to me day in and day out because they were already on that level. They knew what to expect of how to push themselves. I was fighting, but I wasn't really pushing myself for what I could do. And those guys were already doing it on a daily basis. So it was a good solid 6 to 8 months while I was just getting my shit torn into me. It just made me a tougher person and a better fighter, honestly. So I can't say I've done anything without them. They helped me so much.
Right on. Now you are very frequently talking about how if it wasn't for MMA, you'd probably be killing people out there. What is it about MMA that helps you that keeps you? You know, what's the fire? What's the passion in this sport that keeps you so interested and keeps you from being a mass murderer?
Man, it's just I got a low tolerance for stupid people, and everybody knows the world's full of stupid motherfuckers out there. Just look at what's going on with the NFL right now. But man, MMA is just really keeping me sane. It gives me an outlet. Not to say I'm craving violence or anything. It's just something to put your energy to, you know what I mean? Even though sometimes you walk around the street, you just feel like kicking somebody square in the teeth, you know what I mean? But now I don't have to worry about that and getting charged with a felony. I can just go ahead and do it on the mat or in the cage and do it legally and get paid for it. So God bless America, right?
right on, man. All right, so, you know, as you got weigh-ins behind you, I'm sure you guys are filling up, kind of, refueling yourselves, sitting back, relaxing. What goes through your head, and what do you do from here on out, from now to the fight?
I mean, honestly, man, these last couple of hours and leading up to the fight, I try to do my best not to even think about it, because if I do, I won't get a wink of sleep. So I just try to talk to my friends, talk to my girl, talk to Bamboo and all them, and we talk about anything but fighting, really. Just clown around, just be my normal self. I won't really worry about the fight until probably I get to the venue tomorrow.
Right on. Now, how have you, you know, I've seen a few of your fights. I know I saw your pro debut. I saw, I think, your last two AMI fights. You're quite methodical in the cage, man. Very, very low temper, low. Your presence is just kind of that of, like, a spirit almost. It's kind of like you flow so smoothly. What goes into the training to help you to be so fluent in the cage?
A lot of the technique, man. It's easy to go in there and grill on your mouthpiece, close your eyes, and swing for the fences. I mean, any fucking Joe Schmo down the street can do that. It takes a real person with talent to actually learn the technique and apply it properly, and that's what I mainly focus on when I'm training. Yeah, you can hit hard and you can go 1,000 miles an hour, but if you don't know what the fuck you're doing, it's not going to matter. You know what I mean? So I try to make everything set up. I try to use thinking methods more than physical methods, if you know what I'm saying. So I just try to make a chess game out of it, because if you outthink somebody, you're going to beat them 100% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, right on, man. So when it comes down to it, when you get in that cage tomorrow night, you know, what's the game plan? Are you trying to, you know, obviously Gracie Tampa West, Team Bamboo, you guys, your jits is unparalleled, but are you kind of looking to try and draw him into your game, or are you looking to see if maybe you just feed off of what he presents you?
I always find those questions a little tough, man, because my main focus every time I go in there is just win. I don't care how I got to win. I got to sub him, decision, knock him out, break something on him, or he just passes out. I don't give a shit. I just want to get a W, you know what I mean? I'm a person that's real big on momentum. I just want to carry everything over into my next fight, obviously, and my overall mood, because anybody would tell you, I'm a fucking prick when I lose for a solid week at least, if not more. I get down, I got this bad attitude, and it's not a way to live. I want to be positive, happy, go out and get some drinks, get drunk, and celebrate my win, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right on, man. You know, when it comes to, like, you know, say you go out and get the win tomorrow night, do you take time off, or are you right back in the gym and right back at it?
I usually take some time off, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, but I got a couple teammates, got fights coming up. I got some people that have been really helping me out, Tampa Moore, so I got fights coming up, so I'll probably take a few days off and get some training in. I also have a few possibilities for fights myself lining up that aren't 100% sure yet, so I can't allow myself to get fat and out of shape, so I got to at least take a few days off, get my body back, and then hop right back into it.
Now, Kit said earlier on Facebook how badly he wants to beat this guy's face in tomorrow night after him coming up to the face-off, I guess, in a suit or something. What was that? What was your thoughts on this guy, you know, facing off with Kit wearing a tuxedo?
First of all, this jackass shows up the weigh-ins in a blazer, some shades, and whatever the fuck else he's wearing. Then he has the audacity not even to make weight. This whole time he's sitting there trying to look like so cool on the side, looking like a dumbass. He could have been cutting weight and being professional and making weight. But he decided to do a persona, get some attention, whatever he decided to do. And then Kit, being the respectful guy that he is, said, hey, good luck tomorrow. The guy wants to mean mug him and kind of blow him up. Like, he's the reason why he didn't make weight. Like, first of all, prick, you didn't make weight. You over there looking like a jackass. You got nobody to blame but yourself. And then we find out he tried to come back and say he doesn't want to cut weight. More unprofessionalism. That shit kind of irks me. As you can tell, it's kind of like the tone of my voice.
Yeah, no, I get you. I'm with you there.
He's acting like a jackass. If I was on this weight, I would not be drawing any more attention to myself than I already got. And you want to come in there looking like the Knight of the Roxbury, you look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. You know, amateurs, professionals, you know, the job is to make weight, first of all. That's part of the fight is coming in there on the weight you said you're going to be. And as you said, you know, guy, you know, coming in trying to draw a bunch of extra attention to yourself, that's just no good, man. So I do hope that Kid gets to, you know, let him have it tomorrow night.
There's no doubt. I'm willing to bet my next paycheck Kid's going to smash this fucker.
Now, back here in Tampa Saturday night, Bamboo's been working real hard on this fight card. You've got this Gracie Tampa fight night, which is going to be showcasing a lot of the young Gracie Tampa fighters from all across the Gracie schools. So what are you expecting to see Saturday night here in Tampa?
I'm very excited about that, man. I want to let everybody know it's on the Sundome. Doors open at 6. Flight starts at 7. Being in the gym, working with most of these young guys, man, it's kind of exciting to see where they progress. And some of them came in just like me with no knowledge about MMA. And you see them now, they're just continually getting better, man. It's awesome to see and spar with them one day and see how much better they get the next time I spar them. It's awesome to see. I want to see how these guys do, because a lot of them are going to be debuts or their second fight. So it's amazing to see the improvements in such a short time and how much they've been working hard and you're really getting after it. I've been I'm more excited to see how they finish the fight more than I am they know they're going to win, because I know our team's going to come to win no matter what. I'm excited to see how each of them went.
Right on, man. Now, before we let you go, Cam, I know it's kind of getting late. You've had had a long day here. I want to let you get out here. But what's some kind of final words that you'd like to leave with us, just kind of talking about what the fans at AFC 22 can expect to see from you tomorrow night?
I'm going to put on a show, man. I'm going to hopefully finish this full quick and easy. No injuries, so I can go ahead and help everybody else get ready for their fights and maybe possibly get ready for my own in the next few weeks. I want to take this time to thank all my sponsors and my family and my loved ones, my girl, my teammates, of course, both Gracie Temple West and the guys that have been helping at Tampa Muay Thai lately, man. They've been such a big help, and I couldn't have done this without them, definitely. So I'm definitely in debt to them for life.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Cam, also, where can people find you on social media?
They can find me at KMC5150 on both Instagram and Twitter. You can find me my name on Facebook, just Cam Taylor. It's easy. Go ahead, like the Gracie Temple West page on Facebook while you're at it, too.
Right on, man. Well, Cam, thanks for joining us. Best of luck to you and Kit, and hopefully I'll see you out there Saturday.
All right, man. I appreciate you having me on the show, man. Have a good night.
You too, Cam. Cam Killaman Taylor, awesome dude. I've had the chance to talk with him many times at some of the local shows. He's pretty much, if there's a Gracie Tampa West or really any of the Gracie Tampa people fighting, he's usually out there cornering them and out there to support the teammates. So that Gracie Tampa family, man, I tell you something, it's a special thing. They've got, you know, five or six schools that all fall under the Gracie Tampa banner, and they are very, very greatly a tight-knit family, and they're always out there to support each other. They bring out pretty much the largest crowds, and just an awesome group of young fighters, male, female, and awesome coaches there. Obviously, Gracie Tampa West is headed up by Bamboo, Joe Wisman. Gracie Tampa South headed up by Matt Arroyo. The whole Gracie Tampa school is under Rob Kahn. You got Gracie Tampa Brandon under Rob Dinaforio, which I probably just butchered his name. I apologize, but great group of people out there. So best of luck to them tomorrow night, and we'll see some of their new up-and-rising talent Saturday night here in Tampa. So, Spencer, go for it, man. RFO.
Yeah, RFO, Resurrection Fighting Organization. We've had several of their fighters on Cage Zombies Radio before, and actually several of them are going to be fighting on this upcoming fight card. It's titled Big Guns 14, going down October 18th in the usual spot that RFO host event. That's the Richland County Fairgrounds in Mansfield, Ohio. The main event's going to be Mark Seltzer versus Karate Mike Williams. Michael Williams, we had him on the show before. Dude sports a very sick face tattoo. His whole body's covered in tattoos. This guy's just a hardcore character. And Mark, on the other hand, is a professional boxer who's making his MMA debut, so that's a very interesting main event. The co-main event is another former guest of ours, Josh Longgood, making his professional debut. He was an 8-1 amateur and a belt holder for RFO. He's going to be taking on Lloyd Thornton, who is 2-1 as a professional. That's going to be the co-main event. And then rounding out the professional card is Raymond Yanez taking on Charlie Gathers and Cody Gableman versus Darnell Pettis. Cody Gableman versus Darnell Pettis, I'm calling right now, fight of the night. I've seen Darnell Pettis fight several times. These guys are fast, they're quick. Flyweight division, of course, and man, it's going to be a war. So RFO, Big Guns 14, going down October 18th. I'll be there covering the event live. Results will be posted on MMAMadhouse.com.
Right on. So we're going to talk here in about 15 minutes with Rachel Cummins, who's getting ready to be part of the flyweight tournament at XFCI 6 is when they're going to kick that off, and that takes place next weekend, September 27th. Down in Giganteo, I think Sao Paulo. I'm learning Portuguese right now, but have not exactly gotten down pronunciation of cities and countries down there, but I believe it's in Sao Paulo. So, right, so on that fight card, let's run down that fight card real quick, which, like I said, goes down next weekend. You got the main event, Waylon Lowe versus Davison Dragon Ribeiro. Co-main is the strawweight tournament, Vanessa Guimarães versus Vanessa Mello. XFC Super Fight Series, Alfredo Morales versus Marcelo Barreira. And then the flyweight tournament obviously kicks off with Rachel Cummins facing Tyler Santos. And then also in the flyweight tournament, Karina Rodriguez, Poliana Botello, let's see who, Julia Borisovara, and Deborah Ferreira, and Buco Katanin versus Antonia da Silva. My goodness, they went out and got some of the hardest pronounced names possible. They were like, let's look for some of the toughest names out there, and they got them. But anyway, so that's going to be the return of XFC, obviously, with some changes being taken place in the XFC. Obviously, you had the departure of John Prisco, and you have Myron Malachi, which takes over as XFC president, and will, from here on forward, be running the promotion with Eduardo Duarte being as the main matchmaker. I think right now they're mainly focusing on the International Series, but they will be returning to the States, I want to say possibly late this year or early next year. I know that there's some things on the horizon there. So before we get going with Rachel, though, these 2 minutes, I do want to break down the Ultimate Fighter Tough 20 from what we've seen thus far. Obviously, I wasn't on last week's show to break down that episode. I want to talk quickly on that episode, and then we'll go into last night's episode. I want to say kind of the thing that really stuck out to me, that's the first time they've done it, they haven't done it before on any of the other seasons, is a ranking system. And I just curious to know who decided the ranking system and how it was decided, because it just seems, I don't know, I'm not buying into the ranking system.
It's all. There's a few fighters in there that should be ranked way higher. There's some that are overranked. Now, do I think Tisha Torres was ranked appropriately? Yes, I do. Randa, on the other hand, I think they underestimated her, and she should have been maybe a 6 or a 7. And then who do I think is overrated? I should keep it to myself, but I think Felice should definitely not be in the top 10. That's just my opinion, though.
You know, and Felice has gotten a lot of hate. You know, people hating on her. Obviously, Heather Jo Clark, the two of them. Heather Jo Clark is quickly making enemies in that house with people on her own team through the first two episodes. I know you say you didn't see last night's episode, but she's trying to kind of be like this ringleader for the team and tell these other girls what to do. And Thug Rose there kind of let her have it and said, listen, you know, when it comes down to it, we might be on a team right now, but we're going to end up all fighting each other. It's every person for themselves. And, you know, Heather Clark didn't really like that. But the facts are the facts is, yeah, you have teams right now. But when it comes down to it, you do have to go through each one of these girls if you want that. And you know, Rose and Heather Clark might be on the same team right now. But let's say those two were in the finals together. They got to fight each other. Same goes if Beck Rawlings and Angela Hill are in the finals together. They're on the same team. But when it comes down to it, only one person's going to win. So while there is a team aspect to it, it is an individualist competition. And they need to keep that in mind. And Heather Jo Clark she's not doing well right now. She's creating a lot of enemies and putting a lot of people against her on her own team, on the other teams. And I don't know, man. It's interesting to see. I will say that, again, I don't like the rankings either. I don't think there should have been a ranking. I'm not really positive, like, who I would put where. But, you know, you got Carla Esparza, who's the number one ranking. Do I think she should be the number one ranking? I mean, she's beat, you know, a few of the other girls on this show. So I think, obviously, okay, she's got that over them. But this, just the whole system, I'm just, you know, I was really shocked when they announced that there on the first episode. And I'm like, you've never done this before. Why start this now? You know, what's the point here? But I do like that it has Felice and Heather Jo Clark matched up in the first round, facing each other in the first round together. So I will look forward to seeing Felice beat Heather Jo Clark yet again, as she already has. So, with that said, though, man, there's such great talent on this. You've got Rowdy Beck, you've got Felice, you've got Jessica Pini, Joanne Calderwood. Obviously, Joanne got a win last night. Tisha Torres, Emily Kagan, Thug Rose, Lisa Ellis. Just so much great talent on this season, and so many recognizable names. Whereas before, in past seasons, you've had people come in that you've never heard of. You know, you've been like, okay, who is so-and-so? I've never heard of. Say you weren't familiar with Gilbert Smith. He was on the season a couple years ago with Josh Mann and Uriah Hall and Bubba Jenkins and a few of those other people. you know, you weren't familiar with some of these guys, whereas they had these records under them, like, okay, they got solid records, you know, but you weren't familiar with them. Whereas, you know, this season, if any MMA fan is already familiar with the majority of this cast, there's maybe two or three girls on this show that I was not familiar with, but have quickly become familiar with them because of the notoriety of the show, of the, first of all, the backgrounds, the introductions that they give to these girls on the first episode was awesome. You really got a chance to kind of hear some of the stories of each of these fighters, and I thought that was really cool. I thought that was definitely something really, really awesome to have on this season. And
it was a great way to start. Great way to start the episode and start the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously the first week, you know, you had Randa Marcos versus Tisha Torres. Randa gets a unanimous decision win. They're going to the third round. And I couldn't agree more. I thought that Tisha showed a lot early in the first round. I thought the first round was hers, but that the second and third round were most definitely Randa's. And a big win for her. We'll talk to her about that later in the night. But last night you had Joanne Calderwood versus Emily Kagan. And this is a fight where a lot of people were saying, why didn't he get a third round? They really thought he got a third round. I thought that Joanne easily took both two rounds and that it was a great decision, great call. I really didn't think he needed a third round. And she did a great fight. Emily Kagan, you know, did a lot of great as well. She showed a great performance. But Joanne Calderwood, I think, just was that much better that she took the fight last night. And next week? Drawing a blank. Jessica Penny versus Lisa Ellis will be the matchup next week. So far, man, you know, I'm loving it. I think Felice Herrig seems to be quick to want to party and kind of have a lot of fun in the house. And some of the other fighters have kind of gone along with it, but I think that they've been a little reluctant. I think that, you know, they're wondering how much of this partiness is in her, which I've always been a fan of Felice because she's a good fighter. And, she, you know, people talk, you know, Heather Jo has been big on that she represents the sport badly, which I think is just bogus. I think that's just terrible. You know, she says she's bad for the sport and all this, but Felice gets it. Felice gets what most other people don't. And that is that as a fighter, you're not only a fighter, but you're your own brand. You have to market yourself. If you go out and you just fight, yes, you'll get somewhere and you'll have a successful career, but if you really want to build your brand and make it in the sport, because there's not a lot of money when it comes to fighting, you've got to build that brand, you've got to market yourself, and you've got to make yourself known. And I think she does a marvelous job at that. She's built a phenomenal brand, and that is the Felice Herrig brand. You know, she's fought for many notable promotions. She's fought for Bellator, XFC, Invicta, and now she's on this season of Tough, but ultimately she's doing what a lot of fighters just don't get, and that's market yourself and make yourself into a brand. So I think she's absolutely done that marvelously, and at the same time, she's a good fighter. 23-5 as a kickboxer, 9-5 as an MMA fighter here. And to hear her talk about the fact that she wanted to possibly hang it up, she thought about retiring before getting that call from Dana, it's just crazy to me, because I think she's so talented that it's crazy to hear that. But glad to hear that she's not going to do it and that we get to see her on this season. And I know that when her and Heather Jo do step into the cage together, it's going to be fireworks. So, all right, so let's talk some World Series of Fighting. Why don't you go ahead and run that down?
Yeah, World Series of Fighting went down last weekend. It was one of several big events. Last weekend was packed with UFC, World Series of Fighting, Bellator, Cage Warriors, Bama. But there was supposed to be a title fight here between Josh Hill and Marlon Moraes. Of course, Josh Hill was forced off the card with an injury. Cody Bollinger stepped up. There was no title on the line. However, Moraes said if Bollinger was to win, he would receive the belt unofficially. Of course, that didn't happen. Moraes dominated the fight from the get-go, ended up getting a rear naked choke in round two. I don't know what you thought of that fight, Matthew. If you saw it, it was pretty one-sided. And then Ozzie Dagulabugov against Keon Caldwell. Dagulabugov, crazy KO punch in the third, and I love seeing fighters finish fights in the later rounds because this was a close fight to begin with. Ozzie did not cruise to a victory. He went after it, and he got that knockout. The other two fights were decisions. Unfortunately, Isaiah Chapman out of Ohio lost. He lost to Timur Valiyev from Russia. Frankie Perez, the first fight of the night. Frankie beat Tom Marcellino, and that's about it for World Series of Fighting, the main card. There was a couple of prelims, too, but I won't go over those. Matthew, did you get a chance to see World Series of Fighting at all?
I have not yet. It's on the DVR, and I haven't had the chance to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, you have to see that Dagulabgov knockout, the co-main event. Just a clean punch, a walk-away knockout. It was beautiful. And then Moraes, like I said, completely dominating the fight. He looked like a true champion. He looked like somebody that World Series of Fighting, as he proved in the past already, somebody that they can definitely market, that can sell a fight card by himself, just like all the lightweights that they have. So it's nice to see somebody else in another division really dominate for World Series of Fighting. And I think he'll be back in the cage sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Now, Bellator I did see, so let me run down Bellator 124 real quick. I want to say, first fight on the main card, Ryan Couture. What an awesome submission finish for him with his dad there at cage side with him. LC Davis gets a unanimous decision over Zelton Rodriguez, a very dominating victory. Leah McGeary with an inverted triangle choke over Kelly Anderson. Inverted triangle choke is one of my favorite submissions, and you do not see it that often.
Dude, from side control, too. That's the crazy part. And I want to point out, man, last year I told you on the show, I said, Liam McGeary, this is a dude to watch out for in Bellator. I think he's won like 6 fights in Bellator now. And he's going to fight Emmanuel Newton next. So that's going to be a crazy fight. But go ahead and give your thoughts on the main event.
Yeah, you're right. Six fights Bellator. He is now 9-0, and you're right. He faces off next. That win over Kelly Anderson put him in place to face the winner of Emmanuel Newton and Joey Beltran. And I want to say this. Joey Beltran was controlling that fight, was by far the aggressor and landing more shots, and even had Emmanuel Newton rocked a couple times. But, and this is a big but, he left himself open to the Emmanuel Newton spinning back fist, which Emmanuel Newton had thrown multiple times throughout this fight with no success. And then, boom, I think what – about more than halfway through the third, I'm thinking, man, Newton is kind of starting to break down here. Beltran is taking this fight. Beltran gets lazy. Emmanuel Newton throws the spinning back fist, lands it, and lights go out for Joey Beltran. He was out for a minute or two. It took him some time to get him awake. And there you go. Emmanuel Newton wins another fight by spinning back fist knockout. I mean, people, you know, and Jimmy Smith's first one of his first comments where he lands it with such precision and accuracy. I'm like, you know, kind of, but he was throwing those all fight and having no success with them. He just throws them. The majority of his strikes are spinning punches and spinning kicks, and he just throws them. I don't think that there's always that much precision or accuracy involved. It's just a matter of he throws them. And sometimes he lands them, sometimes they go wild as they were throughout that fight, but that one landed. So I don't know about the precision and accuracy there. I think he just gets very fortunate.
Yeah, I agree. It was a beautiful knockout, though. It was a very frustrating fight to watch as an Emmanuel Newton fan myself. He was getting picked apart by Joey Beltran. He kept backing up. Every time he'd land a good combination, he would just stop and back up. But either way, he got the win, and man, I am excited for Newton versus McGeary. That's going to be an exciting one. I don't care who else they put on the fight card. That one I'm watching.
Yeah, could not agree more, man. That's going to be a big fight. Emmanuel Newton's going to have a lot in his to take care of because of the height and reach difference. You know, even I think Beltran was outreaching Newton and was doing so with ease. So. It's gonna be a tough fight for Newton, man. I still put my bet on Newton. The guy is just really good. I've had a chance to meet him. He's just an awesome dude, and my money's still on him. I still think that he takes it, but it is gonna be tough. It is gonna be very tough for him. So, as Spencer goes behind the scenes and gets ready to call, also you had Bama 16 going down this past weekend. Another great event. Bama 17 coming up. December 6th, going to be trying our best to get Colin Fletcher on the show for that one. But we're going to get ready to go live here in a moment here with Rachel Cummins. Rachel the Panther Cummins, a fighter I've had an opportunity to talk with a little bit a few months back, did an article on her and reached out to her and her I guess you could say manager and good friend, Brianna Armstrong, one of the best writers out there in MMA. Just an awesome young fighter is Rachel. Rachel's, you know, 2-1 as a pro. Had a fight a couple months back where she was getting ready for it and it fell through, didn't happen. She gets signed by the XFC. The XFC kind of, you know, went through some changes there, and she gets lined up now for the flyweight tournament, which will be starting, as I said, next weekend. It's September 27th down there in Sao Paulo for XFC International 6. Obviously, the XFC, a little bit of a hiccup, a little bit of a bump in the road, but are back in full force, got foot on the pedal, and they get ready to launch some another season, I guess you could say, of XFC International, and then break back into the States here. Real quick, there is a let me find this here. I want to say again, just real quick, the info for Gracie Tampa Fight Night this Saturday. It's at the USF Sundome. As Cam said, doors are going to open at 6. Fights are going to start around 7. And they're looking at, I want to say, about 12 fights on the card thus far. And we'll be looking to see how it goes down. Hopefully they can keep those 12 fights, and they'll be set for a nice solid fight card out there at the Sundome. And I got to say, it's a big deal for an amateur event to get the Sundome. It, you know, the Sundome has put on shows for Bellator, for XFC. The old RFC days were always at the Sundome. So this is big for Gracie Tampa Fight Night. Looking forward to a great venue for a great show. We do have, I think, Rachel on the line. We're getting ready to trying to get her set up, having some slight difficulties. But we'll get her ready to go. As I was saying, Rachel Cummins obviously had a really stellar amateur career, fought some great talent, went pro in March of 13, is 2-1 thus far, and is just a week out from starting this flyweight tournament. I love tournaments. I'm a big advocate for them, and I'm greatly looking forward to seeing this XFC International tournament here. So while we wait for her, let's go ahead and run a sponsor.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Pro-Am championship belts, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championships, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am championship belts, proambelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am. Championship belt.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Right on, man. A couple of our great sponsors here at Cage Zombies Radio. We just are beyond fortunate to have such a great team of sponsors behind us and behind MMA Madhouse. So I want you guys to go check them out. As we get ready to go live here with Rachel Cummins, Rachel, we actually caught her in the middle of training, I think. So I'm obviously still late night, you know, hard at work, getting ready for her fight next weekend in Brazil. Obviously not taking it lightly. And I'm sure after such a long time out and having some fights fall through that she'll be on, be more than ready to finally step back in that cage. So we'll go on live with her shortly. In the meantime, though, I want to make sure, you know, you got Bellator going down tomorrow night. Obviously, another big fight card. They're starting this season off with some huge, huge stuff. So looking forward to seeing another great fight card from them. I think we've got her ready to go. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and bring her in. We got Rachel ready to go. I think she's... I don't ever like interrupting a fighter's training, so we'll probably keep this to a bit of a short interview tonight so she can get back to the training. Definitely don't want to interrupt a fighter's mindset as they're getting ready for a fight. So we're still waiting here, getting ready for it. Bellator 125 goes down tomorrow night. Main event, Doug Marshall versus Melvin Manhoff. Co-main, Brian Rogers versus Rafael Carvalho. Martin Stapleton versus Goiti Yamachi, and Javi Alala versus Rafael Butler, rounding out the main card there at Bellator 125. Obviously, with the change, you know, obviously in the front office of Bellator with Coker coming in and Bjorn Rebney leaving, it's you know, we heard some a lot of changes, you know, fewer events, maybe getting away from the tournament. Style of things, and so far though we're seeing a lot of greatness from Bellator so far this season. It's been a lot of really awesome things thus far in their first two events, and I expect to continue to see that. Obviously Bellator 126, you got Shlemenko getting in the cage here, so Bubba Jenkins, they got a lot of good things going on. With Bellator, obviously the thing with Tito and Bonner was an embarrassment, but I think we got her ready to go. So let's go ahead and see if we got. We'll jump back to Bellator. We are now live with Rachel the Panther Cummins. I want to say thank you, Rachel, for joining us. I know you're in the middle of training. So how are things going?
Good. Training really hard, and just getting excited for the fight.
Now when I talked to you a few months ago, about doing an article, you were getting ready for a fight there in I want to say May, and that didn't go through. That fight ended up being canceled. What was it like to kind of have that canceled and then be back looking for fights when it's been kind of hard to find them?
Well, it was like I don't know. I guess bad luck because I had an opponent pull out in March, also 2 weeks before my fight, and I was already in training really hard and. Then the show got canceled in May, and I've been training really hard this time, so it's like, you know, like never-ending training. It's like, you know, sometimes you come to play and you're like, I need a break, but, you know, I haven't had any time out. I haven't been taking any breaks. I've just been training hard this whole time, and, you know, training at, like, a full-time job. So, I'm just happy that I finally am having a fight coming, you know? So.
Yeah, no. And you get picked up by the XFC. I mean, obviously, with the XFC expanding greatly, you know, they've had great success here in the States for a few years now. With them kind of setting up down in Brazil last year, doing five very big events. They go out, they sign you, they bring you in, and here you are about a week out from debuting in their flyweight tournament. So, how are you feeling about that fight? And how did it feel kind of to get the call from the XFC?
It was cool when I first, when they came in contact with me first, I was kind of like immediately like wanting to say yes right away. Of course, you know, I had to talk to my coaches, but there was, you know, it wasn't much beating around the bush. It was pretty much a yes, you know, from the first time they contacted me. And it's a really good experience to go to another country and fight. Because I'm used to fighting, you know, like in Vegas where I have friends and family and in California. So I think it would be a really good experience for me to go to another country and fight. And, you know, where you don't have your family and friends there. And, you know, it's kind of like out of your element and that you're used to. So I think everyone needs to experience that.
You took my next question right out of my mouth. That was going to be what I asked you, is what do you feel like that experience is going to be like? Because, I mean, it's a... You know, I myself have never fought, but I can only assume that, you know, fighting in the birthplace of the sport has got to be kind of like a surreal thing. Have you kind of really thought about what that's going to be like to fight in front of probably the most passionate and hungry MMA fans in all the world?
I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it's going to pump me up more. Of course, you know, you never know until you're backstage and you're getting ready to go. I mean, you never really know the real feeling until you get there and there's always, every fight is different, and you have different feelings for every single fight. And, you know, like, you could be cool and calm and collected in the back, and then all of a sudden they call your name, and you're, like, freaking out. But you know, all my last fights, I've been really calm, and everything has gone well, and, you know, I haven't experienced any of that, you know, thank God. I think I've only probably experienced that, like, one time, like, my second amateur fight, where I, like, freaked out because I was, like, my first fight in Vegas, and I was, like, sick. And I was like, I'm not ready, I'm sick, like, I can't breathe. And I mean, that's the only time I ever freaked out. But, you know, all my other fights have been really smooth, and I've been really excited and anxious to get out there. Once the cage closed, I was just felt like it was just me and my opponent. So I'm really excited.
Now, with it being just under a year since your last fight, coming off that win at Bad Beat 11, do you feel like there's going to be any sort of ring rust, or are you – have you been so intense with your training that you feel like it's gonna get, you're gonna be right back in that cage as if you didn't even take a day off from fighting?
I feel like it's just gonna be natural, like, because if I didn't take any time off, because I didn't take any time off. I mean, of course, the real experience is when you get in the cage every time. But I'm just kind of, I'm actually glad I got to, you know, change my skills more, or, like, you know, develop, you know, some better technique and things that are, you know, a lot stronger now that I'll be ready for, instead of kind of jumping into another fight, you know, right away and kind of just preparing for that girl, whereas now I got to work a lot of technique and then get prepared for this girl. So that's the difference, and I think that sometimes it's nice. I mean, I didn't want to take that much time off, but sometimes, you know, a little time off to really get your technique down is, you know, it's better. So
now I can't interview you here without asking about Brianna. Obviously, you guys have a really close friendship, and she's taken on and been managing you and kind of helping out with your career. What's it like to have somebody so dedicated and passionate working with you?
It's awesome. She's one of my best friends, and it's good to have someone that, like, you're really close to, because you know that they're looking out for you and they care, you know, about your best interest. Whereas, you know, if it's a different type of manager or whatever, you know, sometimes they just, you know, they just want money, or they want,
yeah,
you know, just, you know, whatever they could get out of you. Whereas Brianna, you know, she's helped me so much and doesn't expect, like, anything, you know, like, she knows, you know, in the beginning, like, it's hard for fighters. A lot of people, they don't make a lot of money in the beginning. And, you know, it's nice to have a close friend and someone that really cares about you to, you know, help you and take care of you.
Yeah. Now when do you leave to head down to Brazil? How early will you arrive there?
I believe I'm leaving Monday. I think, I don't even know what time I'm leaving. I probably have to figure that out. But, yeah, I think we'll be arriving Tuesday if we leave on Monday. I think that's how it is. It's like forever flight. I don't know. I've never been on that long of a flight, so that's going to be interesting. I'm going to have to, like, walk around a lot, of course. But I think, yeah, so I'll have, you know, a few days there. And, I mean, I'm looking forward to having Açaí.
Now, as you're getting ready to be part of the flyweight tournament down there, what's that like to have such a great opportunity? I mean, obviously they're bringing together a lot of great young flyweights to kickstart this tournament. You get to be blessed enough to be one of them. What's it like to kind of be among these other great flyweights and then have an awesome opportunity?
Oh, it's awesome. I think this is a huge opportunity for me. And, you know, I really, really want that belt. You know, I've been working really hard, and I'm really excited. Like, it's just, like, such a huge opportunity. There's a lot of, you know, girls coming into the UFC now, and there's a lot more opportunities. So I think that, you know, XFC is a really good organization. And I mean, I started seeing, you know, like, Bellator and all those places are all coming up, and 125ers, I'm not sure who all the 125ers are, but I know that there's some in Invicta, and then maybe, you know, most of them would probably be now. Some of them seem to be good at XFC, like this group of girls that they got. They all seem, you know, pretty legit. And I think XFC is doing a really good job that, you know, like, everyone was, like, looking at Invicta and blah, blah, blah. You know, they all want to go to Invicta, but I'm just happy to go to XFC. I think that's a really good opportunity and, you know, to go to another country and to see what is in other countries. It's nice because, you know, there's, like, 5 different countries, I believe, that is in my tournament.
Yeah, yeah, they do have a lot of international talent, kind of from all over the place represented in this. So I do think it's a really awesome thing for them and an awesome thing for these great young fighters.
Yeah, like it's like it's nice because, you know, like obviously UFC is the biggest one, but they have, you know, people from all different countries. That's why I think XFC is really going about it the right way, bringing a bunch of people from different countries, because you get to see, well, you get, you know, you have fans from different countries, and then you get to really see what is around, like, you know, in every country, whereas it's not just, like, the American fighters or, you know, just Brazilian, and I think that's really good that they're doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, as I said before we got going with you, is I really, I don't like interrupting fighters from training, so I know that you were in the middle of training, so we're going to go ahead and let you go. Before we let you go, though, I want to give you a chance to give shout-outs to your sponsors and where people can find you on social media.
Well, you can find me at Rachel Cummins on Twitter and on Instagram. And then I'd like to thank my sponsors, Here TV and OC Fight Doc. And my team, Wayne Training Center and Gracie Fighter Dojo and Spider Muay Thai.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us, Rachel. Best of luck to you next weekend in Brazil. We look forward to hearing some great things from the event and from you. So take it easy, and we'll hopefully talk to you again soon down the road.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You know, you have a good night, Rachel.
You too.
Rachel the Panther Cummins, obviously, as we said, in the middle of training, so didn't want to keep her too long. I know that there's it's kind of like this whole other dimension when you get in that mindset, and I don't want to get in the way of that, so. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to play a song. Then when we come back, we will be live with Random Marcos Thomas from Ultimate Fighter 20. So let's do this.
Looking thick and
back here. I want to say thanks again to Rachel for joining us there, taking some time off from training. We are now going to be live with Randa Marcos Thomas. Randa, how are you doing this evening?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, obviously, with the debut of Tough 20 last week, there was a lot of expectations. There was obviously a lot of high-profile girls on the show. You know, a lot of people that we, I think for the first time in the history of the show, going into a season, people have been familiar with the majority of the cast, yourself being one of those. And I want to say first and foremost, what are your honest opinions of that ranking system?
I think they did a pretty good job with the rankings, except, like, obviously they didn't know me too well, so they didn't rank me very high. And I understand that, you know, I didn't fight some of the top people like Tisha did or other people have, you know, and I didn't fight in Invicta either, so they didn't really know where I stood. So, but everybody else was pretty much in Invicta, and they ranked them according to how they performed in Invicta. So, I don't know, I think they did a pretty good job with the rankings, and I'm... You know, I'm okay with how they set me up. I was pissed at the time, but, you know, they don't know me. I didn't get to fight Invicta, so that's, I guess, to them, I was number 14.
Very well put. So you felt like going into that since they didn't really know you maybe as well as some of the other ladies on the show, that you had to prove yourself, which you went out and did right off the bat. I mean, obviously getting a very dominating victory over Tisha. What was that? What were your initial thoughts when they announced that you had won that fight?
I went in there pretty confident. You know, I went in there with no pressure on me. So I just went in there to show, and that's why I'm on that show. You know, I wanted to prove to everybody what I could do, what I'm capable of. Not getting those opportunities, kind of like I had this like drive inside of me to finally give everyone, you know, show everyone what I can do. And when they put my hand up, I was like finally, I get to show everybody what I could do. And like I was pretty confident going into that fight, even though people thought I shouldn't be, you know, being ranked number 14. But yeah, then winning that fight, it was just like, it was awesome having Dana White sitting there watching me win that fight. It was just an awesome experience.
Now, what was it like? Now, I know, you know, I'm not going to try and push it because I know you can't really answer too much because we're only two episodes in. And I think probably the first thing people always want to do is try and get secrets out of you guys. But, I know I'm not going to try and push it and get you in trouble, but what was it like in that house to have so many kind of like intense personalities? Obviously, you've got the drama coming into the house between Felice and Heather Jo. A lot of the girls on the show have already fought each other and have some experience in there. Having coming into the show kind of as you mentioned, kind of as an outsider without having the Invicta background, what was it like for you trying to kind of just fit into the mold there?
Honestly, it was like a nightmare. For me, it was a nightmare because I don't really like hang out with too many girls, and I don't like to train with other girls. So this time, and especially my weight class, so they put me in a house with a bunch of chicks that I have to fight one day. It was a nightmare. And then just like being such a quiet person and having to go out there with all these, you know, loud girls, some of them pretty obnoxious. You know, it was a nightmare, but it was really cool to see how everyone trains, how everyone acts, and how everyone, you know, just to get to know these personalities that you see on TV and you hear about all the time. It was pretty cool to see what kind of people they actually were.
Now, the episodes are airing now. Walk us through what it's like to be sitting down at home. You've already went through this experience in the house and seeing yourself on TV and how they edit everything. What's that like?
It's really cool to see how they edit it. It looks really, really good, but I wish it was longer. I wish they could show like all the little things that we had to go through that wasn't put on the screen. You know, like 6 weeks of being there every day, being around these girls like 24/7. And then you get, like, a glimpse of what we actually did. You know, it's pretty cool to see, but at the same time, I wish we could, like, I could show everyone what else happened during that time, you know. But it's too bad that it's such a short episode that they cram everything into, like, 1 hour, and you guys don't get to see all that stuff.
You talked about being an outsider in the house. After your episode aired and you beat Tisha, it seemed like social media exploded. And they just love you. How does that feel?
It feels great. You know, I just went in there. I was just myself, and I refused to be anybody but myself, you know. There's a lot of, like, strong personalities in there that try to break you and try to, you know, get you to react to certain things and, you know, do whatever it takes to try to get something out of you. And it was really hard to try to be myself. But I did. I was myself, and, you know, some people like me, they like me. If they don't, well, I'm sorry. You know, this just all I could be is myself. And I'm surprised that, you know, a lot of people, you know, reacted good to me. And, like, all I've been getting is good feedback. Like, I really appreciate that. And I'm really glad that it turned out the way it did.
Now, what's that like being in the houses? We've talked with tough cast members in the past on the show here. And they say really that the hardest thing that people don't understand is the mental toughness that you have to exhibit to kind of survive the house. I mean, so was that like that for you ladies on this season? Where did you have that where it was kind of tough at times to just get through being in the house?
Yeah, that was the toughest part, definitely. Like, everything else was easy compared to that. Getting in the cage was easy compared to just living with the girls and, like, listening to them, putting up with them. You know, some of them can be really nasty. You know, sometimes, you know, I just wait in the room till nobody's in the kitchen, and, you know, you wait for hours till it clears up, then you go in the kitchen because you just don't want to see somebody, or you just don't want to, you know, start an argument with somebody. It got pretty tough, you know, at times, and it really makes you a strong person mentally coming out of that house.
Now, were there any personalities specifically that you did try to kind of evade and stay away from?
Not really. Like, I like to be alone. I like to be quiet, you know, like to just stay, you know, alone and just have my thoughts in my head, you know. And it was pretty hard just to be around anybody. You know, people constantly, you know, talking to you, asking you things. Like it's nice to have somebody there to talk to, but I don't know. I'm the type of person who just likes to be alone. So it was difficult every day just, like, trying to have a conversation with somebody who, you know, you might face one day. I don't want to be friends with you. I'm going to have to fight you one day, you know. It's just really hard everyday things.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask a little bit about, you know, I read this article that was actually posted, I think, earlier today, kind of just about your life, about your upbringing, about the kind of the things that you and your family have been through and the importance. And the reason I bring this up is because of a quote that says, that pretty much sums up the importance of MMA in your life. And we've had some fighters locally out of Tampa here where I'm at, and just kind of international fighters that we've talked to in the past that have kind of uttered the same statements about the importance of MMA in their life and how it saved them from what could have been in their life. Talk to us a little bit about how it's played a role in your life. What has MMA done for you?
Well, you know, I had a really rough life growing up. You know, every day was a struggle. Every day was a battle in my own house. It was like a war in my own living room every day. And I hung around with some, you know, sometimes, like, not so good people, you know, growing up in high school and stuff. So just being strong, you know, and just having that, you know, escape where I could just leave everything at the door, walk in, put a smile on my face and pretend that everything's okay and just let out all your frustrations on the mat and just, you know, just having something that you do for yourself and something to, like, you know, you can be happy with. You can walk away and just be happy that you accomplished something today, even though, you know, there's so much bad stuff going on around you. You can just put it all aside and have that for yourself. And it just, like, it really helped me grow as a person. You know, it helped me be strong, helped me learn that, like, even though there's a lot of bad things going on, there's a lot of good things too. So it helped me see the good things out of life instead of just focusing on the bad.
Right on. That's very awesome. Now when it comes to a lot of these girls having the Invicta background, having known themselves before, do you feel like it was more of an uphill battle for you to prove yourself to the other fighters? Because I know you mentioned how you felt like you had to prove yourself to the coaches and that win over Tisha was a big way of doing that. But did you feel like you had to at least at all prove yourself to the other fighters and prove that you belonged there?
Honestly, I don't really care about what the other fighters think of me. I obviously care about, you know, what the judges think of me and what the, you know, people like Dana White think of me, because I want to prove to them that what I can do. But with the other fighters, I could care less. You know, I'm better off with them still thinking I'm the underdog. You know, I could care less what they think, really.
Now, you were on Team Pettis, and, I mean, you have Anthony Pettis, Sergio Pettis, Duke Rufus. What's it like training with these guys, some of the best out there?
You know, I loved it, and, like, I know that some of the girls you guys watched on the last episode, that they were complaining about the coaching and how they were over-coaching us and whatever. Like, I loved it. You know, I loved everything they had to tell me. I know I need a lot of work. I need a lot of, you know, groundwork that needs to be fixed, stand-up that needs to be fixed, and I was taking in everything they had to tell me, and it sucked that, you know, a few people spoke to for the rest of the team and said, hey, you know, this is too much for us, but I enjoyed every bit of what they had to say, and I took in as much as I could, and, you know, it was great to see how Anthony Pettis works and how his team helps him get better. He's a freaking champ for a reason. You know, I want to take everything I can from him. It was great just working with him.
Yeah, now I'm glad you bring that up, because I did take notice to Felice and some of the other ladies bringing that up there, talking about how they felt like it was too stop and go. Now, I've been in MMA gyms before where I've seen that, where you have one coach kind of come over and grab a group of people, tell them to start kind of drilling something, and then somebody else will come over a minute or two later and have you stop and go do something else. And I was noticing that myself with a little bit of the coaching for the teams there, that there was a lot of stop and go. Now you're saying you kind of liked the flow of how things went, and you really didn't have any problem with the stop and the go and the changes or anything that were going on?
No, honestly, I didn't have a problem with it. I know I need a lot of, you know, fixing with my technique and stuff. So I was taking in as much as they could give me. You know, they've trained a million different athletes. I know they know what they're talking about. So I'm not a person to be like, hey, listen, like, I know what I'm doing. You know, I would never say that. I just I was taking it as much as I could, and I enjoyed every bit of it.
What's probably the biggest takeaway from being on the show for you? Obviously, I know that we don't know what's going to happen throughout the season. You know, how you progress or how the other ladies progress. But for your career, in more of an introspective term, what's the biggest takeaway for you from this season?
I like to say, you know, just be yourself through everything and just follow your dreams and don't let anybody underestimate you and don't let anybody label you as, okay, well, you're just a ground person, you're just a stand-up person. You know, like, it's MMA, anything can happen. And what I take from that is just stay true to yourself and just follow your dreams and don't let anybody let you think anything other than that. Because that's, I think, like, by putting rankings out there, it kind of, like, makes you think, okay, well, I'm ranked lower than this person, so I can't possibly win. You know, it's just, like, it's a mind game. So, you know, as long as you believe in yourself and have faith in yourself, it doesn't matter who the hell ranks you or where the hell you stand in the game. You know, you can do whatever you think you can.
Now, lastly, before we let you get out of here, What can we expect to see? What kind of potential fireworks, excitement, just kind of crazy things, or just great fights? What kind of, just give us a little teaser of what's in store for the remainder of this season.
I think I can tell you this, but people are very nice right now. Everyone seems so nice, so perfect. So, you know, you're going to see that completely change soon. That's all I can tell you.
Right on. Well, listen, Randa, thank you so much for joining us. As I said, you know, Tisha is a fighter who I followed for a while, and I really felt like she was one of the favorites to win this season, and you just went out there and just put on a phenomenal performance. You know, it looked like early on in the fight she was having some success, and you just completely took over that fight, and it was a great fight. It was great to see that we could be shocked. You know, I think you shocked everybody watching, and it was awesome. It kind of put us all back in our seats and go, wow, you know, I would think probably instantly there were these Google searches. Who is Randa Marcos Thomas? Who is this girl? And it just, it was a phenomenal debut on that show, and it was a great way to kick off the season. So thank you so much for kind of giving us that, because while we might be hosting this show, we are both big fans of women's MMA, and we've been looking forward to this for a long time. So it was awesome to kind of see a young fighter, unknown on the grand scale, kind of come out and make us kind of wake us all up there. So thank you for giving us a great kickoff to this season. We look forward to seeing great things from all of the ladies, including yourself, from here on out.
Thank you so much. There's going to be some awesome fights definitely some awesome fights. Thank you so much for all your support, and thank you so much for having me.
You got it. Before we let you go, why don't you give a shout-out to your sponsors and where people can find you on social media?
I just want to thank everybody. You can find it on my website, randommarcosthomas.com. Mayuna, Boston Pizza, everyone. I totally forget, but everyone who supported me, everyone who sponsored me, thank you so much. I wouldn't be here without you, and all my teammates and all my sparring partners, everybody's helped me to get here. Thank you so much.
All right, Randa, thank you so much for joining us. You have yourself a great night. We'll look forward to seeing some great things from you as the season unfolds.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. You got to have a good night, Randa.
You too.
Randa Marcos Thomas, obviously, as I said, kind of shocked the whole world there when she defeated Tisha Torres. But that's why they have these things. You know, you can't you look back at the Strikeforce heavyweight tournament where Fedor got knocked out in, like, the first or second round or whatever. And, you know, everybody's going, no, but wait, Fedor was supposed to win that, right? So, no, it's awesome when you see these things and you see people kind of come out of nowhere and just and take out people who are supposed to be the favorites. So look forward to seeing some awesome things from her as the season unfolds. And that's about going to do it for us tonight. Actually, Spencer wants to run down some UFC real quick, so go for it, buddy. And go, Spencer. Go, Spencer. Spencer?
Hello? Yeah, I think I was muted. Did you mute me, or did I? I didn't mute myself.
You muted yourself because I just unmuted you.
Oh, that's weird. Well, anyway, UFC Fight Night 51 went down last weekend. It was on Fight Pass. They've been hosting a lot of events on Fight Pass recently. But the main event's what I want to talk about. Andre Arlovsky. I think he was like a 1-5 underdog against Bigfoot Silva. And, man, round one, it only took him a couple of minutes. I don't have the exact time in front of me, but just a clean knockout of Antonio Silva, way better than his debut, or I guess I should say his return debut, since he was king of the UFC a while ago. But, man, 2-0 since his return. He looked good. I'm excited to see who he fights next. That was definitely a shocker. But also, UFC is going to be returning tomorrow with UFC Fight Night 52. This is going down in Japan, the main event, another heavyweight affair, Mark Hunt versus Roy Big Country Nelson. The co-main is Takanori, the Fireball Kid Gomi against Miles Jury. Yoshihiro Sexyama is returning. He's fighting Amir Sadala. He's been off for a while. And then the one that everybody's looking forward to, Rin Nakai versus Misha Tate. That one's interesting. It's going to be an interesting fight. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. Rin Nakai is definitely a character. Misha Tate, obviously everybody knows who Misha Tate is. Rounding out the main card, Kichi Kunimoto versus Richard Walsh, and Koji Horiguchi versus John De Los Reyes. That's rounding out the main card. The featured prelim is going to be Alex Caceres versus Masanori Kanahara. This is going to be a good fight. I'm sad it's on Fight Pass. Matthew, I know you enjoy Fight Pass, but, man, I'm just refusing to get it. I'm not going to get it.
I'm telling you what, man, I was on that. I was like, you know what, this Fight Pass is stupid, and I don't care for it for the live events aside from Invicta, because now you got to have a Fight Pass if you want to watch Invicta. But when it comes down to it, man, Fight Pass is pretty sick, dude. You can watch any WEC, Strikeforce, Pride, Elite XC, World Fight Alliance or something like that. Affliction, of course, the Affliction was only two events, but there's some awesome stuff on there, as well as every UFC event ever. So it's pretty cool. But as far as I think it's terrible that it is that they're putting UFC events on there that would otherwise be free on, say, Fox Sports 1 or Fox itself, so I think that's quite terrible, but Fight Pass is pretty cool. I can't lie.
Well, man, this is definitely meant to get, because this one's going to be exciting. I mean, this is other than the main event, if you threw in a championship fight, say you throw in Mighty Mouse, or say you throw in Jose Aldo, I mean, that would be a pay-per-view card right there, because, I mean, Misha Tate, Rin Nakai, like I said, Akiyama's returning. Miles Jury still undefeated against the Fireball Kid, who's huge in Japan, and then Mark Hunt and Roy Nelson. I mean, those are just all great fights.
Yeah. I would agree, sir. I would definitely agree. I think that's about going to wrap it up for us tonight. I want to thank Cam Killerman Taylor. Best of luck to you tonight, tomorrow night down in Miami, buddy. I look forward to seeing him Saturday night out at Gracie Tampa Fight Night, which brings me back to Gracie Tampa Fight Night. 6 p.m. doors are going to open. 7 p.m. fights are going to start. That's at the USF Sundome, at the USF campus down there right off of Fletcher in Tampa. Spend a couple days down there a week, so maybe I'll stop by the library and do some homework while I'm there. But it could be a great night of fights, some great amateur action there. So look forward to seeing that great fight. Thank you to Rachel Cummins for taking some time out for training. And, again, thank you to Random Marcos Thomas for the great interview. We will see you guys next Thursday. Cage Zombies Radio, check us out on Facebook. I am now at the MMA Matthew on Twitter. I went ahead and put the J23 Journalistics in the past that my girlfriend's been telling me to do for quite some time because she says journalistic isn't even a word. But I liked the J23J, but it is now officially in the past, and I'm going to move forward with the MMA Matthew since it just sounds much cooler. But so I am at the MMA Matthew on Twitter, as well as you can find me at the MMA Matthew on YouTube. And Spencer, with all of the underscores in the world, is at something or other, so he can do that.
Pablo underscore L as in E-L underscore Diablo.
Yeah, like I said, just nonsense. Anyways, all right, so that's Cage Zombies Radio. We'll be back next Thursday. Live results for that Gracie Tampa Fight Night at MMA Madhouse, and we'll see you guys next Thursday. Be a cage zombie, not a Zupa zombie.
Never.